Blog Talk Radio. Praise God. We thank each and every one of you for joining me this afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. Thank you for tuning in today. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds on blogtalkradio.com. I am your host, Evangelist Benton. Today is January the 23rd, 2012. Again, I thank you for tuning in. Please call someone, text someone, and let them know I am on the air. Talk. The chat room is open for questions, comments, and or concerns. And as always, due to the sensitivity of the topic, we do not reveal names unless you are want to reveal your name. I thank each and every one of you who have joined me in the chat room on today. If you want to get in contact with me, please email me at odds@yahoo.com. Again, that's odds@yahoo.com. Or you may go to my website, www.oddsagainstyou, and again, that's the letter U, .web, S as in boy, S.com. And there you may leave a comment or your contact information. If you desire to be a guest on the show, please email me and I will be in touch with you. Also, I want to take this time to thank some of my supporters. You know, you have really been a blessing to me and the show is gaining popularity. And so I just wanted to send a few shout-outs to Dr. Lauren Dew. And if you go to my website, his book is out there on my webpage as well. And also Dr. Dew's show, which is called Don't Say a Word About This. I'm sorry about that. And I would like to also thank Apostle Shirley Robinson, who also is a faithful listener, Apostle Timberlake. Brother Drew Jackson, also Apostle Diane Ross, who also has a show, Bag Lunch Prayer Time, and Apostle Kane. There are others, and if I overlooked you, please charge it to my head, not my heart. Today we wanted to continue our discussion on child abuse. As we continue our discussion, I do encourage you to go back and listen to the show dated 1-9 to review some of the last bit of the survival coping tools that we did talk about, and I kind of finished that up. So we are going to move right along. So today we're going to continue, and we're going to identify our survival tools. So we're going to move on to the next step into healing. So today we're going to talk about healing. So, of course, one of the most important parts of the healing process of child abuse is telling the truth about your life. So even though this is most difficult for survivors to do, it is one of the most powerful tools that we actually possess. And even though this is a negative experience, I dare you to take a leap of faith and tell. Why? I'll tell you why. Because telling is very transformative. And what I mean by that is telling moves you out of the state of being a victim to moving to being a survivor, to being victorious. And that's what we're talking about. We're moving. So you are then, you're breaking the barrier. You're tearing down walls, you're ripping up the roots of fear, shame, secrecy, and denial. Can you feel me? See where I'm going with this? Okay, you are then releasing the spirit of freedom, you're releasing the spirit of truth, you're releasing the strength, and you're releasing power. Remember, we always talk about taking back control, taking our power back, and keeping our power. So, again, we're talking about being transformative. So that's why it is very important that we tell. Now, moving right along, telling believe it or not, has leveled. And I know you're asking me, well, what in the world do you mean by that? So know that each time you speak your experience in telling, know that it's going to be different. And what I mean about different is, let's talk about it, is emotions when we tell. Because of all of the coping tools that we talked about, that we use, your feelings then have become the, I should say, suppressed. So you did whatever you needed to do to cope, but now you are at the point of telling. So sometimes when we'll tell detached, meaning we're telling this story as if we're talking about somebody else. There's no feelings. You're just trying to get the story out. So it's as if you are telling it and you're not talking about yourself. Then perhaps the next time you tell the story, you're telling it, but you're sad. So there's a bit of sadness that comes along with that. And maybe then the next time you tell it, now that you have kind of gotten past the fact that you're not talking about something, you're talking about you, some of those feelings are beginning to start to surface. So now you're angry. So next time you tell the story, you may be telling it and you may be angry. And that is absolutely okay. Remember, we talked about how to take that anger and turn it into something positive, because we tend to look at anger in a negative light when actually we can take that and flip it around and we can take anger and use it in a positive way. And then there are some times we tell this story in a humorous way. And what I mean by that is you may have a smile on your face while you're telling your story, or you may giggle or chuckle while you're telling this story. Remember, I know that sounds very confusing, but this is actually one of the surviving coping tools that we talked about. And the reason why you do that is because you have developed that as a coping tool because of the pain. So this survival tool actually follows you until you're able to, to grasp hold of that thing, and then you're not fearful of the pain. So you still kind of may hang on to that coping skill called humor just to get through the story. Guess what? It is absolutely okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, if you recall, during the series on sexual abuse, we talked about trust, okay? And we talked about choosing who we tell. We're moving right along in the telling stage. Well, this same applies. We still have to be mindful who we tell, because there's a trust issue here. Telling makes you vulnerable in various ways. We know this. So we have to decide who we're going to tell. Remember, we talked about you want to make a decision and you want to think this through, because the person that you're telling, you have to be comfortable that they're going to, one, hear you, not judge you, number two, and that they're going to take you for right where you are, that they're not going to change their perspective of who you are because you're telling. Okay, so who do we tell? Well, for some, mind you, we're talking about child abuse, but for some have now grown to be an adult, and you have never told. You've been carrying this burden all this time. So some have gotten married. So you may be telling your spouse, who you have not even divulged this to. And your spouse is trying to figure out why you're so emotional, why you're crying one day and you're up the next day, and why you're just going through all this emotional roller coaster is what I'll call it. We'll hold that thought right there. You may choose to tell your close friend. You may choose to tell your overseer or your pastor or that person who gives you spiritual guidance. you may decide that you may need to see a therapist. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. You're in a secure place. You know this person is going to hear you, so we assume that that doesn't always work that way, but we're going to be thinking positive here. Or you may, you know, or somebody in your world that may not necessarily understand why you're upset, why you're angry, why you're crying, why your countenance is off from time to time. They may not understand why you need to be alone at times. They may not necessarily understand that you're so needy, why you're so clingy, why you're calling, why you're whining, why you just, you know, want to be in their space all the time. Remember, when you decide who you're going to tell, and I can't emphasize this enough, make sure this person is going to be a support. Remember, when we talked about the sexual abuse series, we talked about making sure that this person that you choose to tell does not judge you, we'll use that word. And what I mean by that is that they don't begin to ask, well, why did you so-and-so, and what was you thinking, and why were you there, and why didn't, we don't have, that none of that. They are simply there to support you wherever you are, hear your story, not take judgment, and begin to be whatever it is that you need for them to be at that time. And if that's to listen, if that's a shoulder to cry on, that's what that person needs to be in your life for that moment. And so really we just need for them to be a support. And we talked about the process of healing. We talked about healing is also a continuum. It is something that you will continue to do as time passes, as you begin to go through the stages, as you begin to break those barriers, as you begin to let down those walls, as you begin to trust people, as you begin to trust yourself, as you begin to take a different perspective of others, as you begin to not allow people to be always looking at them with suspicion, I should put it that way. So we definitely want to make sure that we understand that healing is a powerful step, that it's not easy, but it's important. We talked about that everyone deserves to be healed. Everyone needs to be able to face their demons. We talked about just being able to move to the next stage of this continuum. And we talked about this year, 2012, being a year of redemption, a year of putting things back in order, a year of dividing the light and the darkness. So, again, what we're doing is we're beginning to divide darkness from light. We're beginning to, by telling, this was so powerful to me, telling causes you to put that thing that has been riding your back on notice. You are now beginning to break free of that thing that had you gripped and bound. So that's when the light and the darkness begins to divide. And I thought that was just absolutely the most powerful thing, that if you can begin to reclaim that which was stolen from you and take the necessary steps, that you are on your way to victory. about it. I'm actually getting really excited here. So I'm trying to keep it in the lane, but at the same time, I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. Let me calm down, take a break here. Okay, but again, we're talking about beginning to see the evidence of the strategic tools that we introduced to you in 2011, not only being used, but now we're beginning to see the evidence of healing, deliverance, and victory. We talked about chopping off the head of the enemy and beginning to take those giants down. We talked about the small steps. So it doesn't matter how big or small the victories are against our odds, against those things that keep us. Nonetheless, we are moving. And as long as we are moving, then we have victories, great and small. So I just wanted to just share that little bit with you, and remember to go back and listen to the tools that we talked about, those coping mechanisms, because what's getting ready to happen here is those coping mechanisms are going to have to begin to unwind. You're going to have to begin to expose those things that were comfortable to you. Those coping mechanisms are beginning to be loosed and unbound. So, and remember, when we talked about those coping tools, we talked about how some of them are good and bad, and that you can use them for the good. But those that are detrimental to our very existence, those are the ones that we're going to have to slowly begin to let go, because the more you tell, the less you are dependent on those coping mechanisms, and we can begin to walk in the freedom and the deliverance that we were designed to do. So I have a few guests in the chat room. If you have any questions, or if you have any comments, you are most certainly welcome to dial in at 818-572-2919. Press 1, and you will then be in the queue. And for those of you who this is your first time joining, just know we talked about, and I can go over some of those coping mechanisms. We talked about denial. We talked about denial, which was pretty self-explanatory, which is pretending that this thing just did not happen and you avoid talking about it. We talked about forgetting. In order to tell, that means you're going to have to remember. So here we are. We're getting ready to take down some of those coping mechanisms. So you're no longer going to be able to be in denial, because you're going to have to tell it. You're going to have to now remember, whereas at first you were forgetting. We talked about forgetting was putting the memory on the shelf. You repress the memories. Those feelings of hurt and anger. So now those feelings of hurt and anger are going to have to come to the surface. We talked about minimizing. Minimizing is where we pretend and talk ourselves into believing that things aren't as bad as they appear, or making excuses for the abuser. We certainly don't want to make excuses for anybody that would do something that was harmful to us, or anybody that you know. So even though this may not necessarily be you, it may be someone that you know. And if it happens to be someone that you know, we talked about not turning a deaf ear, especially when we're talking about the innocence of a child. So now we can no longer minimize it, because we're going to have to do what? Tell. All right? We talked about rationalizing as a coping skill.
All right, we rationalize when we try to explain why the situation or why this event happened in the first place, remember? Okay, so then again, we are giving power to the abuser. Mm-mm, wrong answer. We want to make them accountable. And so therefore, we're going to have to what? Tell. Tell what happened. No longer explain why there is no explanation. There is no excuse. Hear me clearly. No excuse. So there is no excuse for child abuse. There's no excuse for harming another being, especially a child who didn't ask to be here. Okay, we talked about control. Remember we said control was one of those things that's good and bad. We talked about how we create control is by creating chaos. And lack of control, we talked about just being a perfectionist. We talked about managing our environment. And we will, as a control mechanism, create chaos in order to get our way, get the attention that we need. Now, that's the bad part. We can flip the control piece, but before we can do the control piece can be a benefit in that we become perfectionists, meaning that we get things done. We don't waste time. In the working environment, we take that control and we work it to our benefit. So that's the good part. The bad part is when we try to manipulate others and when we create chaos in our world because we just have to have control because that's the only way that we feel like we have power because, remember, control has been taken away from us. But when we tell, then we are going to be able to put the word control in its perspective. So that's another one. We also talked about lack of integrity and integration. Okay, integration is when the survivor divides their feelings into more than one person. Oh, that's when your inside and your outside are in competition. What do I mean by that? We talked about multiple personalities. And a lot of people don't like to talk about that. It is absolutely, positively something real. When we tell, we are going to have to then put that in perspective because those imaginary friends that we created in order to cope, we will no longer need to depend on those imaginary friends because we are beginning to take control of what we have experienced and what we have done in terms of telling. We are taking back control. So we won't need to depend on an entity or an integration in order for us to survive. So we're beginning to cut that off. We talked about leaving our bodies. When we are abused, sometimes we become numb, and that's just to be able to cope with pain. I call it medicating your pain when we use alcohol, but there's another type of numbness that you do when you've been abused, and I call it an out-of-body experience. I used to have those, and we no longer will have to have have what we call an out-of-body experience when we begin to tell, because then we bring light to that dark place. And when we're having an out-of-body experience, that's what we're doing. We're looking for some relief. We're looking to go to a safe place. And you, and even though you still have that feeling of needing to be safe, because you're vulnerable now that you tell, over time, that coping mechanism will begin to cease, and you will no longer need to do those things. So that will be one that will gradually fall in its prospective place, and we will no longer will need to have what we call out-of-body experience or leaving your body, or you can call it floating for some who've never heard of it. It's called repositioning yourself and watching yourself from a distance. That's what leaving your body means. So those are just some of the things that we did talk about, and these are some of the things that are going to surface when we begin to tell. And when we begin an experience of telling, just make sure that we understand that we must make decisions as to who we're going to tell, and don't be afraid of the fact that each time you tell, you're telling in a different experience, if you will. And that is okay. And the reason that is because your feelings have been suppressed. And so, therefore, you're going to have to dig. One of the consequences of abuse is you learn to shut your feelings off, and sometimes they're so suppressed that it takes years to want to feel those experiences or that pain. And I can just kind of, if you will, allow me to self-disclose here for just a minute. I can remember it was probably, I was grown, believe it or not. I was grown by the time I decided to let those walls down and allow those feelings to just surface and allow myself to feel, I should put it that way, because the pain was so great. So you learn to just exist in the world. You learn to be able to be in and out of crowds, in and out of company, in and out of church, in and out of work, and go through the day and have conversations and be engaged with no feelings. It is, and as crazy as that may sound to some, it is absolutely the truth. And if you ask any other person that's been abused, they'll tell you the same. But you no longer have to do that. You just need to be in a safe place when those feelings surface so that you have some support. So to be honest with you, that's about all I have today. If no one has anything to say, or if you don't have a question, I'm looking in my chat room. I don't have any questions out there, but I do want to say this one last thing, and then we can kind of move on. When you are telling, or when you get to the state where you're telling in the healing process, do know this: you are going to have emotional roller coasters. And so my suggestion is that you have that, quote-unquote, that friend or that person that you trust that's going to be able to be there to hold your hand, to just be there to support you with the emotions that are going to be up and down. You may be crying for no reason. You just have no feelings. And when you're telling, of course, remember, you are reliving this moment as if it happened yesterday. And that is absolutely okay, because the reality of it all is that it may not necessarily be. So it may be intense, but it's not reality.
So allow those feelings to surface, because that is part of breaking down those barriers. And so just be mindful of that. So I know I want to say this. I know that it's hard, but we must talk about this kind of thing. We must talk about child abuse so that we can be free and walk in victory. We must overcome the obstacles. We must use our weapons. Remember, we talked about these are weapons, to fight this battle so we can help the next person. We all have challenges in our life, but we do not have to be subject to anyone else's hurt, pain, or anger. Don't allow anyone to belittle you. Don't allow anyone to take their anger out on you. Don't allow anyone to make you feel guilty or ashamed. It is possible to walk in freedom and deliverance from the scars of child abuse. Against all odds, you can walk in victory today. You too can overcome all odds against you, every obstacle that comes to try to block you and keep you bound. Don't be bound any longer. I am here to help you walk in total victory. So tune in so we can begin to gain understanding of the physical and the emotional challenges that you are facing for yourself and for your loved ones, your friends, your loved ones, your neighbors, your classmates, your coworkers. Together we can learn powerful, strategic weapons to combat the seemingly unsurmountable obstacles that life can bring and begin the process of healing and forgiveness. Remember, I always say this. Whatever you do, in all that we have talked about, we must forgive. When we forgive, we take the power back. Don't forget that. We take the power back when we forgive. Amen. Amen. Somebody's saying amen. Amen. I agree with you. Again, my email address is odds_against@yahoo.com. Or you may Facebook me at facebook.com/ / Donise, D-O-N-I-S-E, Benton, B-E-N-T-O-N. Or you may go to my website, www.oVAginst.com. Thank you for listening. Join me next week. Next time will be January the 30th at 12:30 right here on Victory Against All Odds. I am your host, Evangelist Benton. I will again be opening up the line for you to speak live, and I will also open up the chat room so that you can post your comment questions and or concerns. So until next time,
You're listening to Victory Against All Odds right here on Blog Talk Radio. .com. Remember to be blessed and remember to walk in victory. Thank you for listening.
You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. Cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me. You don't have to wander in darkness. You don't have to let the devil rule over your life. But he came, he died on the cross for your sins. And he's right there where you are now. All you gotta do is ask him to forgive you for all of your sins. And he's right there, just and able to forgive you for all of your sins and blot out all of your transgressions. That's why he came. He came for you. He came to seek and save you. Why don't you accept?
Right there in your God. though you're blinded by tears and consumed by your fears, and your daytime has turned to night. You may be unaware, but there's someone who cares, and he's leading you. When you feel that you're all by yourself, like an island on the sea, but that's the enemy's way of making you doubt, 'cause God promised he never
Yes, he'll promise never to leave us. All right. Everyone have a blessed day.